All right, Genesis 49 here tonight. Genesis 49. For the last probably few months, I've off and on thought about a phrase here, and I want to focus on that here tonight. The Lord pressed on my heart to develop some things that were coming together in my mind. But notice by way of introduction here, Genesis 49, verses 1 through 4. And a phrase I want for us to focus on is unstable as water in relation to a description here of Reuben. And it was interesting how many passages in the Bible relate to that phrase, or that word, I should say, unstable or instability. Notice Genesis 49, verses 1 and following. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." So we see here that Jacob is giving prophecies regarding his 12 sons. And we see here in verses 3 and 4 that he starts with the oldest, Reuben. Notice, "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, and the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power." You know, you can see Reuben's, you know, head swelling here as father is talking about him being excellent and all those things. But notice, continued sentence, verse 4, "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, defiledst thou it. He went up to my couch." You notice here he had great potential, according to verse 3. First, great potential as the firstborn. But again, because of being unstable, his father gave a negative prophecy related to him. Now, as far as a definition for the word unstable, there's several words that are used synonymously with this. Not fixed. I'll mention a verse here in the Bible here in a moment. Or steady. Inconstant. Wavering. We'll see that word again as well. Irresolute. So as we understand this instability that we'll see here in Reuben, notice again, he's unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Now, first of all, I want for us to consider here the causes of instability. First of all, immoral behavior. This passage is actually explained in chapter 35, Genesis chapter 35. And let me just say this in the context. Reuben thought he got away with this immoral act, but it came back to him when his father was about to die, and as he was giving out the prophecies related to his sons. Notice verse 16 and following. It says here, this is, of course, the passage in which there's a revival in Jacob's household. And let me just say, revival does not necessarily mean that there's going to be no problems coming into your family and your life. It says here in verse 16, "They journeyed from Bethel." Bethel, of course, means the house of God. And it says, "There was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. It came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, 'Fear not, thou shalt have this son also.' It came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem." Of course, Micah 5:2 talks about Bethlehem of Ephrata. Notice verse 21, "Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it." Of course, as we understand in chapter 29, this is Rachel's maid. You notice here this act, immoral act, that brought God's judgment upon Reuben's, even not just him, but also his descendants. Hebrews 13:4 says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." I want you to notice here, first and foremost, because of the example that we see here in the example of Reuben, that there is an instability that comes from immoral behavior. And let me just say this, the immoral behavior is not going unnoticed by God today. And again, I believe, again, as Hebrews 13:4 says, "Marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Some people think that they get away with it just like Reuben did. They're not getting away with it. What is happening in their lives is God is delaying the sentence, probably waiting for them to repent, first of all. But again, you notice here, there's going to be an instability in their lives, spiritually, emotionally, and so on. Second of all, also a lack of convictions. Notice Ephesians chapter 4. Another thing that causes instability in our lives is a lack of convictions. If we do not have biblical convictions, as far as our doctrine is concerned, we will be unstable. Notice that in the context here, verses 11 through 14. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 14. A lack of convictions will bring instability in our lives spiritually. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and, notice, of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now notice this in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. All right, so children obviously speaks of some immaturity there. And again, I think there are some children who are more mature than others. It says, notice, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We had a former pastor who described this verse this way. Lick your finger and put it up and see which wind, see which direction the wind is blowing. Literally, there are people who change their doctrinal position based on what is popular and what's going on in fundamentalism. Notice we are to not be like that. We're to not be carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Again, children. Hebrews 13:9 says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. When we do not have established convictions, we will be unstable in our spiritual lives. The third cause of instability is being double-minded. Notice James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Double-mindedness will cause us to be unstable, as we see here in this passage. We're going to see some words again that I mentioned a moment ago. Not fixed or steady, inconstant, wavering, irresolute. We're going to see that word wavering here in this passage. Notice it says here in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally or generously, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, notice, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I want you to consider here what we're talking about is vacillating back and forth. We're talking about going back and forth and being unstable as far as where we stand on some things. Notice again, like a wave of the sea. Now, it's very enjoyable, relaxing, whatever you want to say, to stand on the shore on an island and just watch the waves come crashing in. And yet, in reality, that is a perfect illustration of that, because that wind is driving, those trade winds are driving those waves. Those waves are totally out of control. They're driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This is also mentioned in chapter 4, verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. Notice ye double-minded. Now, as far as this word, this phrase, double-minded, means to be two-spirited, vacillating back and forth. Also, Webster's 1828 says, having different minds at different times, unsettled, wavering, undetermined. Literally, we're talking about having a different mind depending on who you're talking to at the moment. That's instability. That's double-mindedness. So again, those are three of the causes I see in Scripture as far as instability. What are the consequences of instability? First of all, you will not excel according to what we saw with Reuben. Now, you think about the word excel, we don't really use that much anymore because nobody expects you to excel anymore. So let me give you a definition of excel. It means to go beyond, to exceed, to surpass in good qualities. So you have this expected standard. Somebody who excels goes beyond that. The average grade is C. The person who's going to excel is going to try to get an A or an A+. That's the kind of idea. First of all, you notice again, we will not excel if we have instability in our lives. Numbers 32, verse 1, speaking of the tribe of Reuben, said had a great multitude of cattle, and they asked to stay on the other side of the Jordan. You think about that. Literally, that's the only thing really you see as far as Reuben, the tribe of Reuben. They had a great multitude of cattle. That's it. Number 16, it's interesting. Dathan and Abiram in the rebellion of Korah were from the tribe of Reuben. He lost the rights of the firstborn according to 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 1. Because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright, it says, was given to the sons of Joseph. That's why Jacob had a double blessing on Joseph. Joseph literally received the rights of the firstborn, even though Reuben was Jacob's firstborn. So again, we see in 1 Chronicles 5, verse 1, he even lost his birthright as far as being the firstborn. So again, he did not excel, as we very clearly see in Scripture. I was trying to determine this here. Do you know of any prophet, anyone at all? Any king, anyone that we would say was great in the Old Testament that was said came from the tribe of Reuben? I did a search of Reuben. I couldn't find it. Maybe I'm forgetting somebody. But it's interesting as far as excelling. The virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, 29 says, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." So there's virtuous women, but notice this virtuous woman excelleth them all, is excelling great, even greater than them. Notice with me Joseph here in Genesis 39. Genesis 39. In a contrast with Reuben, since Joseph received the rights of the firstborn, notice in contrast to this, Joseph in Genesis 39, verse 1. All right, so Reuben would not excel because of his immoral behavior. Notice Joseph here in chapter 39, verse 1. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Wait a minute, he's in slavery. But notice here, even in slavery, he's excelling. He's prospering at the hand of the Lord. It says, he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Again, we would say he excelled. He was not a common servant. Literally, Potiphar is putting him in charge of everything because it was an excellent servant. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. All he knew he had is he sat down every night, he had something to eat. Joseph was a goodly person, well-favored, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." And he refused, and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." You know, he has to remind her she's married. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Notice the total contrast here with Reuben. "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house there within. She caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand," notice, "fled and got him out." All right, so now he's going to prison, right? Notice verse 21. "The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." And by the way, the keeper of the prison was associated with Potiphar, by the way. It says, "The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand." Well, this is very similar to what happened in Potiphar's house, right? "Because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Of course, long story short, in chapter 41, he's second in command under Pharaoh. Because he was acting differently than Reuben, God allowed him to excel. Another contrast with this is Samson. You think about Samson. It says the hand of the Lord was, the Spirit of the Lord was mighty upon Samson. God wanted to use Samson in a great way. God could have used Samson in an even greater way than he did. But because, again, of this sensuality and immoral behavior, God was limited. God the Spirit was limited as to what he could do with Samson. You will not excel. We will not excel if we have instability in our lives. Second of all, we'll be easily deceived. Notice Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. When we have instability in our lives, we will be easily deceived. While you're turning there, let me mention a statement in 2 Peter 2:14 that brought my attention to this as I was meditating on this thought. 2 Peter 2:14, talking about the false teachers, it says, beguiling unstable souls. Literally, they're deceiving unstable souls. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now notice this, it says in verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, their own appetites, and by good words and fair speeches, notice this, deceive the hearts of the simple. We will be easily deceived when there's instability in our lives. Last of all, a third consequence of this is you will not be able to fully understand Scripture. 2 Peter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Peter 3, verses 16 and 17. Again, I just did a search of words related to unstable, and here's another result of the word unstable found in Scripture. It says in 2 Peter 3, 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, notice, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. They are twisting the Scriptures. Notice, they're unstable, and so they're twisting the Scriptures as they do also the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own, notice this word, steadfastness. All right, so unstable or instability, you're wavering around. Notice the contrast here. We're steadfast. That's why Peter says, make sure you're paying attention to these things. Beware. Pay attention to the warning here, because you're going to fall from your own steadfastness. Again, you notice here, unstable people twist the Scriptures because they do not understand them. They're hard to be understood. Now, as far as instability, I want you to consider a biblical contrast. Let me give you several references here. I'm going to quote most of them. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. That sounds like excellence. In the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Notice in contrast to being unstable or having instability, we're to be steadfast, unmovable. We're planted. We're not bouncing around, vacillating back and forth with a double mind. Hebrews 6:19 talks about the hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. God's hope should put us anchored, stable, not tossed about with every wind of doctrine, as we saw earlier. 1 Peter 5:9 talks about resisting Satan, steadfast in the faith. That's talking about doctrinal convictions. We need to have doctrinal convictions. We need to know what we believe and why from the Word of God. Well, my preacher says, I'm sorry, that's not your convictions then. That's my convictions that you're repeating. What are your convictions? Young people, you need to determine what your convictions are as far as the Word of God is concerned. By the way, my convictions were pretty well established before I got to Bible college. In fact, one of the greatest compliments we received as parents was one of the older men in the college in Fort Dodge, Iowa, said that Justin and Ryan knew what they believed before they got to college. That was the greatest compliment I could have received as a father. Psalm 57, verse 7 says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. That phrase, our heart being fixed, repeats itself a couple other times in the Psalms. Notice me, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Again, as you think about the contrast of instability, God wants us to be steadfast, unmovable, being fixed. We're not bouncing around with all the winds of change that are going on in our day. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Notice this statement here. Rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Again, you notice here again, being established, firm, Romans 1:11 says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, permanently fixed." 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I want you to notice that one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. First Thessalonians 3, verse 11. "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice, I don't know how people, you know, see that there's only one person that's called God. How do you not see that there's at least two people mentioned here? "God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." Notice this. "The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end," notice this, "he may establish, "your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Notice that God, the Lord, I should say, is going to establish our hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Notice again this stability in our lives spiritually. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. All right, notice again this contrast to instability. It says in verse 15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." All right, so we're talking about biblical traditions here. It says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us," notice, "and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." Notice this. "Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." So instead of being unstable spiritually, notice we're to be established. Again, established are the same things. I did a check on the definition of those. There's similar words definitions, but it says, notice, "establish you in every good word and work." Chapter 3, verse 3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil." Notice this stability that God wants to give us through his working in our lives. Colossians 1:23 says, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." Notice again, we're not vacillating back and forth. We're not unstable as water. What we're doing is we're talking about God, as we continue in the faith, God is going to allow us to be grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. There are so many people who are throwing everything away spiritually. Sorry, but the Bible says they're going to find a lot of instability in their lives spiritually. James 5, verse 8 says, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." How established, how stable are our hearts spiritually here tonight? 1 Corinthians 16:13. Man, you probably remember this verse. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men." That does not mean quit being a man. The word "quit" in the King James Bible talks about acting like one. "Quit you like men. Be strong." Again, that's not a very good theme verse to describe today's men. That's the way it should be. We're to be watching. We're to be standing fast in the faith. Again, having those biblical convictions. Acting like men and being strong. Philippians 1:27 says, "Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel." Standing fast, in one spirit. That's talking about collectively as far as a church. So what are the keys to stability? We'll wrap this up with these thoughts here. First of all, 2 Corinthians 1:24 says, "By faith ye stand." If we're wavering in our faith, as we saw in James chapter 1, we're not going to be stable spiritually. By faith we stand stable and firm. Notice me, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. All right, so the first key to stability is faith. By faith we stand. Now I want you to notice something else here. Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 14. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Notice we're not going to be strong and stable in our own strength. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, and he talks about the armor here. I want you to consider here, as we look at this passage, tied together here are two keys, God's power and his armor. Again, God is the one who is going to enable us to stand firm and remain stable spiritually. Something else that's very interesting is 1 Chronicles 28, verse 7. These are words to Solomon. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. At that point in Solomon's life, he was obedient to God's commands. Now, it's very interesting. There are some very clear commands that the king of Israel was to have written out for him at the throne. Not multiplying wives to himself, not multiplying horses to himself, and all those things. There were very clear commands that Solomon violated as far as king of Israel. But again, you notice the promise is given here. I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Constant to obey. If we're not obedient to this book right here, we're going to be very unstable spiritually. Last of all, 1 Peter 5:10 as we close. 1 Peter 5:10. God wants us to be stable spiritually. He does not want us to be unstable as water like Reuben. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Notice what the God of all grace does by way of suffering. Notice, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and notice, settle you. In particular, there's two words there that are a contrast to instability, being unstable. Notice, again, establish you and settle you. For whatever reason, that phrase, unstable as water, has grabbed my attention. And I, on purpose today, this morning, ask God to make us stable, that we'd be established, that we'd be strong in the faith, that we would stand fast in the faith. Because there are a lot of Christians today that are probably unstable as water, is how we could describe them. Constantly going back and forth. Well, this church believes this, I don't like that church anymore, so I'll go over here, and oh yeah. They're constantly bouncing around from one conviction to another. Unstable as water. Father, I pray that you'd help us to find stability in you, in your grace. Lord, help us to not be unstable as water as Reuben. As Reuben had a description given to him by his own father. So therefore he would not excel. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be settled, to be established in the faith, to stand fast in the faith, or to be stable, not wavering like so many in our day. In Jesus' name, amen.